Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think there's only a couple words I'd like to change in that song. It says, I'll worship you until the very end. The end of what? I'll worship you forever. Amen. It's a beautiful song. We love it. But our revelation is just a little higher than the inspiration that comes to some. We're so thankful to be here this morning. And we know that we have Independence Day coming up on, I think it's Friday this week. Is that right? My Independence Day was July 3rd, 1989. That's when the Lord confirmed that I was His. He gave me the gift of the Holy Ghost, and I'll never forget it. Never want to forget it. Amen. And it truly is an Independence Day, because who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. How many can say amen to that? So we're just thrilled to have our brother Deli with us again this morning. And, you know, he's traveled quite a distance to be with us once again, coming from Nigeria, from Lagos. And just as a reminder, and I invite him to correct me on any of these little details that I don't have right, but I'm trying. I believe he told us that he has four children, ages 28 to 12, I think he said. The 28 part, I'm sure of. He can correct me on the 12. His wife, Adrina, you just be in prayer, because we're trying to twist his arm to have him bring his wife out so we can spoil her a little bit. And, you know, maybe not in June, but, you know, February or something like that. And, introduce her to some of the finer points of Arizona and have some fellowship. Three of his brothers, well, including himself, there's three of them that are ministers from one family. So that's quite a, and I think he said there's a fourth that he's looking at that believes it will step into it at some point as well. I think there's 12 total. Is that right? We met mom and dad at Brother James's church about a month ago back in Virginia, and met his mom and dad and one of his brothers, and mom is just so sweet, and so it's proof that motherhood won't kill you, and it won't make you bitter. She just, I mean, right away you're thinking, man, I wish that was, you know. Nothing against your mom. Don't plug your ears. Don't tell your mom that I said this. But it leaves you with the feeling, well, my mom's gone. She's passed on, so I can say, you know, I wish she was my mother, right? Just so sweet. And his brother, Femi, has been with us before. And let's see, I believe that was in December of 2024. So, and then brother Deli was with us last in June of 2023. So we're glad to have him with us. He's was with the twins back east here just a week ago, and was with Brother Mike Wells over in that area. And also, so he just made a quick pit stop in Minneapolis, was with Brother Juan Lodi, and he's going to go back. And so I kind of interfered with the plans a little bit. As soon as I heard that he was coming out this way, I said, well, is there any way you could come our way as well? So Brother Juan got a hold of me, and he says, well, normally we have them for a week, but I'll share them. And I said, well, that's so nice of you. I really appreciate it. And he says, but it's going to cost you. So I said, fair enough. So anyway, we're thrilled to have him with us this morning, and we want him to take his liberty, as always. And glad to have the Collins family with us this morning. God bless you. We're so thankful that, you know, the Lord does everything well. We've told people over and over, I don't believe for a moment that everybody belongs in one church, but I do believe that God will lead you where you do belong, and you will fit, and you will be blessed, and because that's God's way. He set it up that way. It's His way, and He always provides. So we're excited for you. We're thankful to have you visiting with us, and we won't twist your arm, but we will pray. And that's fair enough, right? But regardless of where the Lord leads, we want God's very best for each and every one, right? And we're just, I was excited and thrilled to see the Valencias back there when I looked and I thought, I think I know them, yeah. I think, if I remember right, that you might have been the last marriage ceremony that we conducted in the former church before we moved over here. So, yes, that was a special wedding. We all remember it, and everyone had a little part in it, and just it was, yeah, you're our kids. So I met a brother from your church, Joseph, is it Canada? Is that how he pronounces it? If you were from Mexico, it'd be Kenyatta, right? Canyon, is that what that means? Yeah, okay. So anyway, he complimented us on the Valencias, and he says, you have any more families you want to send over like that? And I thought, no, we don't have any like that, but we might have some like, no. So it's always nice to hear good things about, members of people that have been part of this fellowship. It just thrills us because that's how we feel about it. And it's nice to hear other people confirm what we believe, how we feel about others that are part of our church family. Just one more thing here real quick before you have our brother come out. So we usually like to take people around a little bit when they come and visit. And so there's not a lot that you'd really want to do outside right now because it's the hottest time of the year. So I thought, well, it's always kind of nice to go up to top of Mount Lemmon. So we picked up our brother, took him up to the top. As soon as we got to the top, I hear this beep sound, and I look down, and it says, you're out of gas. I'm like, how in the world did that happen, you know? I think the last time I remember that happening was when I was a teenager and I had to push the car, you know. I thought, man, I haven't been a teenager in a long time. How in the world did that happen? You know, it's embarrassing. And, you know, so anyway, we're at the top of the mountain and place is crowded. People are getting a jump on the 4th of July weekend, I guess. And so the restaurant was full and all that. So we thought, well, just maybe the Blumkeys are up here, and so maybe they have some gas. Right? And so we gave them a call and feel real bad because they were having a nice rest, and we interrupted their rest. But they said, no, we just had taken the gas can. I think we might have a couple of cups of gas. I almost said, we'll take it. We thanked them and then just put it in the hands of the Lord and coasted as much as we could down the hill. So the gauge says, you know, you've got 13 miles of range left. Well, I think it's a 26-mile drive. And then another 5 miles or 3 miles to our house. So we just put it in the hands of the Lord and coasted and into my driveway. And I'm sure that there were just fumes that we, you know, absolutely... Because I put in 2 gallons, I had a gas can, I put in 2 gallons, and it just barely put it on empty, and it said I had 0 miles range, so I don't know what, anyway, I thank the Lord, and I'm embarrassed, and I hope this doesn't become a pattern, amen. Anyway, there's a reason for everything, there's a purpose in everything. We originally were going to stop for lunch before we went up, and the brother reminded me that I told him the night before that we were going to eat up top, and I said, okay, that's right. So we went up top, then we got gas, we ended up having lunch down below, and the waitress, so we asked our brother to pray over the food and had a nice little time with the Lord before we got into our meal. Well, she was standing nearby, and she heard the prayer and came over and commented about it, you know. And she said, you don't hear that very often, and it was such a nice prayer. And So one thing turned into another. So he had asked her prior, she says, is there anything else that that I can do for you, when we were ordering our food? And he says, yeah, I'd like to negotiate. And she's kind of, you know, you can barter, I guess, in a lot of other countries, barter on the price and all that. She says, well, I don't know if I can do that or not, you know. I'd like to, barter, I'd like to negotiate. And so anyway, we... she brought up the Lord and brought up prayer and all that. So we told her, well, he's a minister from Nigeria, and you know, if you want to come over and join us. And she asked where the church was. We gave her a card, and she said her mom's looking for a church. So her name is Adrian. There's so many. So there's Adriana, Adrian, Adrina. What did I just say her name was? Adrian. Yeah. Her name is Adrian, so if you would just remember her in prayer. She's just, I don't believe it was a coincidence that we probably had to be there later to run into her and what have you. So if you would, just remember her. So we'd like to invite our brother. With no further ado, we'd like to invite him to come and minister what the Lord has put on his heart. He counts the stars, as our brother Deli comes. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each peril that falls. He makes the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures, great and small, he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name, I'm overwhelmed. And can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Amen. You believe that this morning? I'm counting on it. Hallelujah. Don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions of life. Amen. But I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name. Every step that I take. Every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name, and I'm overwhelmed by the pain, and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, for you know our names. Thank you because of your love. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the gift of a new day, the gift of a new week, the privilege this day we give unto us to serve you better than we have ever done. We're grateful, Almighty God. even for the opportunity to be in thy house this morning, to bring a thanksgiving, a worship, and a praise unto you. Lord, we know you inhabit the praises of your people, and by this we know you are here with us this morning. We are asking, Master, that you will accept our worship, you will accept our praises, you will accept our thanksgiving. May you also accept our persons. Let nothing, O God, stand between our soul and the Savior. Dear Jesus, may we enjoy access into the heavenlies, where all things are possible. Grant it to us, Heavenly Father. And we are asking that you will come by one more time today. Move through the audience of your people, but please don't pass no one by. May you stop at the post of each individual. May you discern their needs and grant to them the substance of their requests. Bless your people, I pray. Please break the bread of life unto us. Make our path to your glory brighter. Give us things that will take us deeper in your love. Give us things that will take us higher in your joy. May you create a surround of your atmosphere, O God, among us, that when all shall be over, we would have cause to give you praise. We shall give you glory. Bless your servant, the pastor here. Lord, give him grace, strength, more wisdom, and good health to serve the flock of your people. Bless his dear wife also. Bless the entire family. Be with them, meet their needs, fight their battles. We pray for all the ministries that are in here, that your grace will continually be sufficient for them. Bless them so much that they might continually be a blessing. Equip them with all the grace and everything they have need of to bless your people. Bless every family. Bless every individual. Bless the church of the living God. You promised to build your church. You said the gate of hell will never prevail. May you confirm that promise daily in the life of this local assembly. Be with them. Keep them in your grace. Keep them in your will. Keep them in good health, watching for thy coming. Grant it to us, dear Father, as we commit thy word ourselves and this time into thy care. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. I will humbly request that we read our Bibles so that when you take your seat, you take it once and for all. And thereafter we can greet each other very well and then go to the Word. So please, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of Psalms 91. Psalms 91. And I will also read from Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 21. Then we might have to refer to 1 Kings chapter 17 as we go along. Amen. Amen. Psalm 91. If you are there, say amen. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Amen. Those are the blessings of those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It will be my privilege to show you that I'm just talking about you. You are the one in Psalm 91 this morning. And you are the one that is the beneficiary of all the blessings we have just read. Amen. Revelations 3. Revelations chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. Or to 22. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and thy raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chastain. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. Amen. God bless you. You may please be seated. This morning, I want to welcome you all to the house of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm welcoming you because I already enjoyed a good welcome. Amen. I came in on Friday, and it's been a very wonderful time in the hands of our dear pastor and his dear wife. And I pray that the Lord would richly bless and reward them for all the cares and the hospitality that they have shown unto me. I want to thank God for making it possible for me to be with you again. It's about 2 years ago that I was here the last time. And I said then that if we are related, we shall meet again. Amen. And I told you that I believe we are related, not by physical blood, but by the spiritual blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So by that I said meeting is certain. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad that the Lord has made it possible again, that we can meet again. Glad to find you all doing well in the Lord, as we are by the grace of God. I also appreciate our pastor for extending his arm of fellowship to me to come and be of service, trusting that God will bless it to be a blessing. And I appreciate him deeply. God bless you, sir. And I bring the greetings of the saints back in Nigeria, all the believers who knew I was coming down to the United States, both in our church and outside our church. They all send their very warm regards to everyone. The pastors back home, they told us to offer their greetings in all the places God allowed us to be. Amen. And I also bring greetings from my home, my wife and my children and all the other members in my house. They all send their greetings to every one of you. They are doing very well by the grace of God. And I know they will be happy to know that the believers are fine here. Amen. Also, I came into the U.S. about 3 weeks now, invited for to speak at a camp meeting. So I was privileged to meet some of the brethren from here who attended the program. And another place where I was privileged to speak before I came this way, they all sent their greetings, because you know how they will ask you, where next will you be? And I told them I'll be in Arizona. And they said, please pass our greetings to the saints there. So I want to be sure I'm a faithful steward or messenger. So this is why I'm dropping their greetings. Also, the twin sisters who are with you here, I met them in Washington, in Virginia. And they also asked that I greet home for them, that they will be back. So I'm passing their greetings also. So the Lord bless you, saints. I'm so happy to see all of you one more time. And I pray that the Lord will be with us and bless our fellowship together today in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, if the Lord will be our help, which I trust He will, my parents also send their greetings. They are presently in the U.S. with my brothers in Virginia and Maryland. Amen. And my brother who was here, I think December or January, also Brother Femi also asked that I greet everyone. He spoke to me shortly before the pastor came to pick me for service and asked that I greet you all, because first service had finished back in Nigeria, and I'm sure they've even rounded up the second service now. There's 8 hours difference between us and them. So all is well. So if God will be our help, which I trust He will this morning, I would like to speak on the subject which I called the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High. And I told you all the prayers and the blessings that we read in Psalm 91 belong to all those who live in the secret place of the Most High. Whether they pray about it or they do not pray for it, it's already their blessings. So if we want such a blessing, we must be able to locate ourselves in God's secret place. God's idea of fellowshipping and meeting with His own people has always been a secret concept, right from the beginning. Amen. If you watch, when God created the heaven and the earth, He also created a garden in the earth. The Garden of Eden wasn't the entire earth. It was located on the north side of the earth. And this is the place, or this was the place, that God chose to meet with His creation, with His own son and daughter, apart from the rest of the earth. Because His concept of engagement with His children, it's in the secret. Amen. And that is why when we get into eternity, the secret place concept will still continue. Why? Because God is going to bring a new Jerusalem. Amen. The city that John saw coming down. Amen. And it's going to be the new capital of the new earth. And it's only Christ and His bride that will live in that economy. There will be nations that will surround the earth. Amen. The earth will still be there. And there are people who will live outside of that economy. But God's engagement with His own elect, it's in the secret place. If you watch, when God came in a body of flesh, and we call Him Jesus, His ministry is such that when he's preaching in the open places, he spoke in parables. But for those who wanted to have the revelation of the parables, they must follow him to a secret place. I'm trying to make it simple as much as I can. Amen. They must go with him to a secret place. And that is why, you know, this caught the attention of even the disciples one day. And they asked to ask him that, how come when we are in the public place, you spoke in parables? But when we come into our closet, you spoke plainly. You expound the revelation of the parables. And Jesus' only answer was that, unto you it is given. Amen. So that means that there will be a secret place, people. Amen. There will be those who will not, you know, who will go beyond the outer court of the word to an economy where they can fellowship with God. And I tell you, that is where unveiling and revelation takes place. I'm just trying to trace for you that right from the beginning to the middle of the scriptures, to the end of the earth, God's idea of fellowshipping has always been in secret place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, where God normally come to fellowship with his people, the Bible said at the cool of the day, he will come, and so on and so forth. But when sin took place, the secret fellowship became impossible because God had to drive his children out of the Garden of Eden. Amen. But when he was driving them away, he drove them away with hope of a return. That was why when the prophet came in these last days, he preached to us, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And he said, God has a threefold purpose, plan, or agenda. The reason it was revealed in flesh, that God came in the body called Jesus, was to ensure that three things take place. The first one is to reveal himself. Amen. The people who accepted the revelation of him, then the number two thing will take place in their life. He will have preeminence in their lives. Amen. Preeminence become easy when people have revelation. Are you following me? These things are not, you know, they are very simple. When people accepted the revelation of the word, when they know where the word is coming from, and they are able to separate between the voice and the content of the voice, because the voice may be that of a man, but the content of that voice may be that of God perfectly. In every Exodus, God has always led his Exodus by himself. But because God appeared in the form of a pillar of fire in every Exodus, in the first Exodus, he appeared as a pillar of fire. In the second Exodus, after he left in flesh, for the Exodus to be effective, he came back in a pillar of fire and introduced himself to Paul. I am the Lord Jesus Christ whom you are persecuting. Amen. Then in these last days again, he came back in the form of a pillar of fire. So he leads his Exodus by himself. But you see, the problem is this. It is not every one of us that is trained to see the pillar of fire. So if he's going to be our Exodus leader, then how do we know where he's standing? How do we know his direction so as to follow him? So we need the humanization of that leadership. And the humanization has always come by God sending a messenger. Amen. To do what? To stand in the gap between us and the pillar of fire. Now, but watch one thing. The danger is this. If the messenger speaks, you don't hear his voice. The person who amplifies his voice to you is the messenger. But if you are not careful not to take the words of the messenger as the words of a man, then it should be difficult for you to come under obedience. Are you following? So first, after God has revealed himself to you, the power of that revelation will bring you under its subjection. Amen. When our life becomes subject to the word, then it's having preeminence. Amen. When we can tell that even though it is William Branham speaking, but it is the words of God that is bringing. That is what I'm saying. Even though it was Moses who spoke, but the contents of that speech was the word of God. What destroyed people in every Exodus is their inability to discern who was speaking. When Korah, Dathan, and Abiram thought it was Moses, they perished. Yes, Moses, they heard the voice of Moses, but it was the words of God. And you must not lose that. If God is to have preeminence in your life. So the revelation must be clear. He will reveal himself. Amen. And those who accepted that revelation of himself will automatically come under obedience to his word. That is when he is having preeminence in the body. When a believer will not take a step until he finds out the mind of God concerning that step. Because he wants to be right. He wants to live a life pleasing to God. You love him this morning. And it is those people in whom God have preeminence that will be restored to Eden. So when in the beginning God sent out Adam and Eve, his plan wasn't to close up, you know, Eden permanently. Eden must be restored. Hallelujah. In other words, the secret place of the Most High must be returned back to his people. Amen. So when he did what? When he sent them out, before he sent them out, he made a sacrificial representation of the perfect land. And he said, by this, there will be a restoration. Why did he send them out of the garden? The Lord said, because they have put forth their hands to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest they also partake of the tree of life. Amen. In their sinful condition, amen, God mounted cherubims on the part of the tree of life and set them away from that economy. So the tree of life has its location. And if anybody wants to be a partaker of that tree of life, he must come to the location of where the tree of life can be gotten. Because the tree of life is not planted on every soil. It is planted only in the secret place, in that garden. That is why when we are restored in eternity, we are going to have a tree that sows 12 manner of fruits. In every 30-day cycle. I use that word because we'll be in eternity at that time. In every 30-day cycle. And these things are physical. They are going to happen exactly as the word said it. But before you can get into that Eden, amen, you must be restored right here. So if we're able to get back the secret place of the Most High today, then we have access to the tree of life today. Amen. Amen. And partaking of it will work upon the atoms of our body. Amen. And prepare it for a body change. Amen. That will qualify us to enter into that city physically again. So when the Lord sent them out, what he separated them from was that life. Amen. And in mountain cherubims, you know, to guard the path of that place. Yes, amen. And since that time, as time goes forward, God began to show a representation of that secret place and give the memorial to the people so that it will give them an hunger and an appetite for a restoration. Amen. That was why when they came to a certain point, he told Moses to, you know, build a tabernacle in the wilderness. Amen. And this tabernacle, you know, goes with them as they move in their journey. Now, the prescription for this tabernacle was not earthly. It came from above. And because God wanted his representation to be perfect, he was the one that gave the architecture. He was the one that gave the blueprint and every specification of the tabernacle. Amen. He created an outer court for the people. He created a middle court. And he created the holiest of the holies. Hallelujah. And he told them, he said, in order to represent what they lost again, it said, in the holiest of the holies, put the Ark of Covenant in there. And inside that Ark, put a portion of the manna that they have taken from the original manna. Put it there. And then mount, you know, cherubims with their wings upon the top of the Ark, to show that the tree of life is still being gathered. And the holiest of the holies shows that that is the, still the secret place of the Most High that people missed. And that was why no matter how great a Christian you were in the Old Testament, the only place you can stop does not pass the middle court. Even the middle court are reserved mainly for the priests. And the high priest goes into the holiest of the holies. But the worshippers stay in the outer court. When the prophet brought us the understanding of that, it showed to us that you cannot become perfected as a Christian by the shadow of that tabernacle as long as you never entered the holiest of the holies. And the holiest of the holies, the path to it cannot be paved until there was something offered to take away the sin of the beginning. So it became practically impossible for man to enter into the secret place of God again. But God left it as a memorial to create an hunger for return. Because until we get back in there, Christianity is not assured. This is why all the saints who died before Christ came couldn't go to the presence of the Lord. God had to create a paradise that then was. Amen. And even in that paradise, they were locked by the keys of death. And Satan was the one that held the key. Amen. The only difference is that God said, you cannot keep my own people in the prison house of common prisoners. So God made a differentiation by putting them in the prison house of paradise that then was. Something better than what the other sin, than what sinners are getting. But they couldn't go to the presence of God because faith, you know, Christianity has not been perfected. Then the prophet came again and reminded us what Apostle Paul said, that we are the temples of the living God. Is that right? So it took us back to that tabernacle to show the three courts in our whole life. How we have our body and we have the spirit and we have the soul. And really people can feel anointed, inspired, excited in their body and in the spirit realm. But until something takes place in their soul, there's still no Christianity. So right inside your being, you have the element of the secret place. That must be watched, that must be experienced, that must be entered into before your faith as a Christian can be perfected. Anointed ones at the end time. How a man could so feel excited and inspired. Amen. Brother Bram called it even outpouring of the Holy Ghost baptism. And yet you will still not make it. Amen. Because the real place has not been touched. So fellowship is not yet complete. Hallelujah. Until the real place is touched, you are still believing to be a Christian. And you can go very far. You can even be a preacher. You can do great many wonderful things. And yet you are still not yet a Christian. Because you haven't entered into that secret place. So through times and shadows, God has been representing all this. Amen. Right from the Old Testament. And God also, in the place where we didn't touch, First Kings chapter 17 was showing through us, through Elijah, how we can come into that secret place. Amen. We suddenly saw Elijah appeared. The first introduction of Elijah the Tishbite in the Bible was in 1 Kings chapter 17. And when he appeared, what did he say? He said, "By my word, there will be no rain, there will be no dews until I call for it." The prophet said, we don't even have his family background history. We just saw him appeared and he was pronouncing judgment. Amen. But the nature of this judgment is very peculiar. Because we found a man here speaking exactly as God. He didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. As if he was quoting God. And he was not praying at all. He only came out and declared, "By my own word." Amen. I hope it's written like that in your Bible. "There will be no rain. There will be no dew until I liked it in the book of Revelation 11. When the Lord was describing his ministry and that of Moses. He said, "Those who in the days of their prophecy have the power to shut the heaven that it rains not." Amen. Amen. So it was Elijah under God's unction that shut the heaven. It was him that opened the heaven. Then the prophet in the message, "Spiritual Food in Due Season," he said, even if we don't have his background, by the nature of what he has done, we'll find out that he's not a novice to God. He's not a newcomer. He said, because the messenger here wasn't preaching, neither was he praying. Amen. He was speaking. The messenger has become his message. And that is why he didn't need to quote anybody. He was just speaking as the word. Then it shows that Elijah had been somewhere. There has been a story that the Bible hasn't shown us. He has lived so long in God's presence until he became the message that he himself was preaching. Are we together? All right. Then, if you watch, the nature of God is not first to pronounce judgment upon people. So, if Elijah is coming out here and pronouncing judgment, it shows that there must have been catalogs of reconciliation attempts that people did not recognize or accept. Because in the message, the prophet told us God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. So there must have been warning and warning before Elijah came on the scene to pronounce the judgment of God. Amen. And in the message, "Spiritual Food in Due Season," Jubilee Year, and many messages, the prophet of God taught us, he said, don't silence the warning voice. God warns all the time. Amen. And in the message, Jubilee Year, he said, you could even be seated in the church and yet you have crossed the mark. Amen. Because when God woos you and warns you, and you cross between the line of mercy and judgment, it doesn't sometimes take people out of the church. But what it does is that from that moment, their ears are bored. They can never hear the truth relative to salvation or conviction again. They become numb to spiritual things. Don't let that be you, brothers. Don't let that be you, sisters. Amen. So before this judgment came, God had been warning Israel, sending them prophets, sending them messengers. Amen. The problem of Israel started right around the time of Solomon. The wisest king on earth died an idol worshiper because of his love for strange women. That's what the Bible said. Amen. Brothers must not love strange women. Sisters must not love strange men. Under no circumstance must you as a believer marry an unbeliever. It's a message that is becoming hurtful to people, but it's part of the word. Amen. No matter what circumstance you think you could have to do it, the word said under none. meaning that the word had summed up all circumstances and found them witless. And found them not enough reason for anybody to cross that line. The prophet said, when you do it, you'll find trouble down the road. The word can never fail. Solomon was the wisest man, but his love for strange women drove him into idolatry. It's in the Bible. And because of his idolatry, God was so displeased with him until he thought to take the kingdom of Israel away from the house of David. It's in your Bible. But because the covenant of God, the promises of God are very strong and powerful, the Bible said God remembered his promise to David. And he couldn't take the kingdom away, yet he must punish the sin that has happened. That was why God divided Israel into two kingdoms. That is when you hear Israel and Judah. There was no kingdom of Judah before that stands as a sovereign nation with a different king. It was the sin of Solomon, occasioned by his love for strange women, that led him into idolatry that divided Israel. And from that moment, you begin to find kings in Israel who were, you know, building more into idolatry. Jeroboam followed Solomon to rule Israel. He led Israel into more idolatry. Amen. His sin of idolatry became a stain that no bleach could take away. Because the Bible will say, this man tried, but he did not depart from the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. How many has ever read that? You will keep reading it. Because his sin had such a powerful influence. Until he came to Ahab, whom the Bible described as the most wicked king. He said there was no person who sold his heart to do evil. Amen. And to disobey God more than Ahab. Hallelujah. So it kept getting bad for Israel until it came to this Ahab, who institutionalized idolatry by mixed marriage in Israel. Under Jeroboam had sent away righteous kings, righteous preachers from the city. All cities that were in the country do not hear the truth again, because he sent them to the villages. He said, don't preach in the city again. And the Bible said Jeroboam started consecrating preachers for himself who will preach what he likes. It's in the Bible. There's nothing new under the sun. Just read the scripture. You will find whatever is happening today already happened. Amen. Why did he do that? In order to weaken the influence of the truth. So if anybody wants to hear the truth, he has to travel very far. Relative to the city, no voice of righteousness. So it became easy for Jezebel, who was married to Ahab, to overrun the entire country with his own form of religion. So when there was no more truth in the city, Jezebel came. When she was married, she came with her god of Baal. And she started selling the idea of seminaries. Amen. Until she was able to recruit young Israelites. Amen. From whom he made about 400 prophets of Baal. And when you have 400 missionaries at a time, and you send them to a place, they will overrun the place. It didn't take long for Israel to be completely sold to idol worshiping. And this was too much for God. And that was what brought Elijah to come and pronounce judgment. I'm giving you the background. Now let us go to the point. When Elijah was pronouncing judgment, he was pronouncing judgment on the entire Israel. Amen. It said, by my watch. So meaning that whatever will affect Israel will also affect him. Because he lived in Israel. But the prophet said, when God is punishing the unbeliever, he makes a way for his believing children. Amen. So, but Elijah has only one desire, do the will of God. He placed God first. He didn't even care what was going to happen to him. But after he declared the will of God, the grace and the mercy of the Lord came down. And God told Elijah, get by the brook Cherith. You go stay by that brook. Brook Cherith was right there in Israel. I want to show you something. He said, you go stay by that brook. I have commanded the ravens, the birds, to feed you there. Yes. Amen. So while the entire Israel is starving, God's believing children or God's believing servant will be supernaturally fed. While the economy of the entire Israel is collapsing, God's believing son will be singled out for a better economy where everything will thrive around him. Now that economy is the secret place at that time. Because God left the entire Israel and relocated to Brook Cherith. Are you with me? And Elijah had to believe in the supernatural to be blessed in the secret place. Because friends, let's face it. God said, I have commanded birds. Ravens are birds, aren't they? To come and feed you there. Amen. Elijah had been so used to God until he didn't even check what he was told. Amen. All he did was to go and sit at Brook Cherith, waiting for the fulfillment of the word. And that is all you have to do. Only believe. All things are possible. There shall be a performance of everything God says if we can believe. I have commanded the ravens, ordinary birds, to feed you there. Even some researches suggested that ravens can be very greedy with their food. But these particular ones are under commandment. These ones are specially made to do the job. Now, Elijah had to believe what God says, knowing who said it. And that is what you and I have to do also. Because ravens, if Elijah wanted to subject that statement to reasoning, he would come to a conclusion that it is not possible. Yeah. Because where will the ravens get the food? Are they going to go to Walmart to buy some food? Have you ever thought of that? Do they have the pots to cook the food? Do they have the stove to cook the food? In which plate will they serve the food? By the time you are doing a research into how, you will come to a conclusion, it is not possible. But thus said the Lord, can never fail. I want to tell you something this morning. If God said it, only believe. How he's going to bring it to pass is not your problem. The strength of Israel can never lie, and it can never fail. Stop bothering about how. Only believe. Tell yourself, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to happen. Why? Because God said so. Stop researching into unbelief. Amen. If you start researching how, it will end up in unbelief. Amen. It might not be ravens this morning. It might be a life situation. It doesn't matter. What you need is not a research into that problem. It's a research into promises. Find the promises of God as an anchor. Let me tell you, when you are in the spirit, there must be a promise of the word that is already attached to your situation. Because solution has always existed before the problem. The wisdom of God is far greater than any man. Hallelujah. If the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, it shows God had in mind some sinners for whom the blood of the lamb will atone. That means God also has in mind, amen, all the blessings that are in that atonement, that some people are going to enjoy it. Let that be your anchor. Your solution exists before your problem. Oh yes. For every condition that will come, God has anticipated it. And he offered you an advanced atonement with advanced blessings. Believe it, my brother. Didn't God know that Peter was going to deny him? I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, huh? For you to know how powerful atonement can be. Did he not know in advance? He knew in advance. He told Peter. He said, despite all these your excitements and everything, you are going to deny me. Not even once, three times. It doesn't matter how much Peter struggled with that to refuse it, to reject it. It will happen. But you know the beauty of it. It says, Satan has decided to sift you. He said, but I have prayed for you. That your faith faileth not. What was Christ doing? Offering him an advance atonement for a problem that is already known will come. But the same God, the same Jesus, knew Judas Iscariot will betray him. And never offered him an atonement. Are you catching it? So if you are a seed of God, let me repeat. Solution exists. Oh, provision exists. Before any challenge. This is why my God said, through Apostle Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, there is no problem that comes to you that is uncommon. Do you know he said that? And he said that to jolt you out of self-pity. Because it's so easy to box yourself in self-pity and be singing a special number all the time. Why me, Lord? If it's not you, who else should it be? Hallelujah. You know what that scripture said? He said, don't ever get it in your thoughts that you have a personal peculiar problem. Three P's, PPP. There's nothing like that. Whatever is happening to you has happened to somebody before. And if there be a tomorrow, it will happen to another person. You live on a street that maybe has about 20 or 40 houses. Have you entered every house in there to know what the condition of people in those homes are? There might have been somebody on your street that haven't seen the sun for 10 years. You can tell they may be there bedridden. And yet you sit in your little corner and allow the devil to be selling lies to you. Do you know why he does that? He knows that as long as you remain in the church, as long as you remain a Christian, no matter what he does, you have a bumper protection. The effect could not be as vicious as if you were isolated from blood protection. So he knows as long as you are under the blood, he can do much. So his first activity is to get you isolated from the protection of the blood. And how does he do that? By selling you lies to bring you into a state of complex against your God. If you ever accept that your problem is peculiarly personally to you, do you know what the next thing is going to be? You are going to be wondering why God will single you out for a peculiar problem. And in that moment, you are already failing because you are accepting lies. Right. Hallelujah. The next thing that will happen is to be developing a little complex against a God who will be personally mean to you. And you begin to tell yourself, am I the worst person in town? Why will God treat me that way? Then gradually, you don't see the need to talk to him. It takes away your prayer. You don't need to see the need to hear from him. It takes you away from fellowship and from studying the word. Right. And when he's able to succeed in doing that, it's isolating you from the protection of the blood. Right. And by the time you get out of the range of the blood, it will now deal with you correctly. Right. Because as long as you are under the blood, he could try, but he has no access. He will do little things. Let me tell you, you said those things are little. They are little compared to what it will have been if you are not under the blood. No matter what happens, don't stay under the blood. Stay in the church. Don't let nothing take away your prayer. Don't let nothing take away your study of the word. Draw the more closer to God. When Job had his issues, amen, the only thing it pushed him to do was to bring more worship. Yeah. Right. Read your Bible. Job responded to his trials with worship. He sang more. He went to church more. He studied the word more, because that's the anchor of the believer. Friends, that scripture said, but God is faithful. How many appreciate that God is faithful? What is the proof of his faithfulness? He said he will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to handle. So God doesn't give you trial beyond your handling ability. Even when you say this thing, oh, I don't know, I'm giving up, it's going to consume me. You are only talking as a man. The one who created you knows your capacity. Shall I give you an example? Do you remember Gideon? How many remember Gideon in the Bible? Amen. When God came down, God met one of the most coward guys. Because Gideon was trying to thresh, was trying to prepare his wheat. Not in the threshing floor, but in the wine press. Did you ask yourself why? The Bible said because he was trying to create a decoy to hide it from the Midianites. This was his labor, and yet he couldn't process his own harvest to make it edible in the right place because he was afraid of the Midianites. Are you with me, church? He has to go to a place to do what? To camouflage and take it away from the attention. So if Gideon will address himself, he will call himself a fearful coward of the Midianites, isn't it? But when God came down, what did God call Gideon? Read your Bible. Gideon has not gone to one battle before God called him Gideon, a mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. So it shows that what God sees is different from what you are saying. It's even different from your own self-estimation or self-assessment. God called a man who was playing cowardice a mighty man of valor. God must be seeing something that no one else is seeing. And that is why the Bible said God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. You think you can't bear it, but if God brings it your way, it's because he has approved of you to be able to handle it. When you take on such scripture, you will tell your soul, don't worry. If the Lord allows it, it shows that there is victory. There is capacity. There is grace. And when you approach any challenge with such a positive energy, Satan will crumble before you. I tell you the truth. We can't be under this S.O.N., the revealed word, and nothing is taking place in our life. I'm coming to a close on that. Secret, please. The reason we are here is to lay in the presence of the S.O.N. Is that right, church? For the greenness in our life to be baked away. Amen. And let me tell you, as you lay under the S.O.N., as long as you are receiving the right words, amen, greenness is being baked out. Maturity is coming. Full stature is building. You are better than you were yesterday. Brother Bram said you keep talking about how the world is getting corrupt and decaying. And you never tell the bride how glorious she's becoming. This is what I want to tell you this morning. That you are not the way you were yesterday. And I'm not fantasizing. I'm not trying to give you comfort in error. Amen. I'm trying to tell you the effect of the revealed word in the life of a believer. But you are going to look at yourself this morning and say, I don't see that. Gideon didn't see that either. Many people whom the Lord had used never saw that either. Nobody ever sees it. But yet it's in there. You know what will give you the comfort one of these days? Shall I tell you? God will create a situation that will provoke it out of you. Then you know how powerful you are becoming. If this place were a wall this morning, and I said, brothers, jump over this wall to the other side. You say, this is too high. Don't embarrass me, isn't it? Now, you think you cannot jump over that wall because nothing has provoked it. A situation has not made it necessary. But if as we are sitting here, 50 lions appear in this room, brother, you will find yourself on the other side of the wall and you will be wondering how you got there. You know why? Because something has not provoked it. This is where we are going to have a time of pressure, a time of squeeze to provoke this grace, these blessings, these juices, this goodness, these virtues that the Lord is packing in you and I. So make the best of this time, friends. Amen. Make the best of this time. Because you are going to need every bit of energy for that glorious time to come. A glorious time is awaiting the bride. Oh yes. I know it by the promises of the scripture. I know it by the promises of the message. So Elijah had to believe the supernatural. Amen. The ravens will feed you in the morning. They will feed you in the night. You just stay there. So while the entire Israel is starving, God's believing son will be enjoying. The conditions around Brook Cherith will be different from the conditions around the entire Israel. Amen. So Brook Cherith is going to be the secret place of the Most High, where God is dealing with the believer, amen, and isolating the unbeliever from the blessings of the believer. Are you catching it? So truly in the morning, I could see the ravens dive down. Don't ask me how they were able to give him enough. I believe the word. They brought enough for Elijah in the morning. They brought enough for Elijah in the evening. And wait for it. As the famine continued, and the effect was getting higher upon the people, Ahab was becoming mad, and he declared Elijah wanted. It's in your Bible. Wanted, dead or alive. And they started looking for Elijah everywhere. Like the president, or I can't remember if it was President Bush or President Clinton at the time. He said, we'll smoke out the terrorists. When they were trying to get this man Osama bin Laden, he said, we're going to smoke him out. Wanted, dead or alive. And they actually smoked him out. They got him in Pakistan, you know. So, and the job of looking for Elijah was so serious. Until they mounted all security agencies, CIA, KGB, Mossad, Scotland Yard, and many more. We have DSS in Nigeria, and many more. What was their business? Interpol to get Elijah. It's in your Bible, because anywhere they go, and the president or the king of the place said, Elijah is not here. Ahab, it was so serious for Ahab until he will ask a king, swear to me that you are not telling lies, that you are not hiding Elijah. That's what the Bible said. But guess what? The man they were looking for everywhere was right there in Israel. Why couldn't they find him? He was dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. How many times had they gotten near the area where he was? And their security radar would be alarming. Pop, 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 something sinister is somewhere here. And they will look for Elijah. Maybe that time Elijah is just eating. And he will be seeing all of them. And they are not seeing him. You say it's not possible. It's very possible. The king of Syria was looking for the fifth columnist in his country. Until the man told him, the man who is exposing our secret does not live here. He's Elisha. He lives in Dothan. So even this meeting we are having now, I'm not sure if he's not looking at us. And the king of Syria said, such a man on the earth, do you know him? He said, I know him very well. He's as tall as this. He's like this. He's like this. He has beard like this. If I see him, even in the dark, I can identify him. The king of Syria mounted serious security team to go and look for Elisha. And they came to where Elisha was, knocked at his door. And maybe that time the servants of Elisha was preparing some food. And the man saw all the armies, you know, surrounding their house. And he started fidgeting. Elisha said, "Why are you disturbing yourself? Cook the food I want to eat." "Sir, with all these armies around us, don't bother." And when the man kept bothering, he had to tell him, "Look, those who are for us, they are more." He said, "Lord, open his eyes." When the Lord opened his eyes and he saw a garrison of angels, he said, "Let's enjoy our food, prophet." And they came into the house. Said, "We are looking for Elisha." And Elisha came and welcomed them. "God bless you. Who are you looking for?" "Elisha." "If you see him, will you recognize him?" The man who led said, "I will recognize him even in the dark. He's as tall as this." He said, Elisha said, "Wait a minute. Is he as tall as my height?" Say, "Yes, exactly. But it's not you." "Okay. Is he bald headed like mine?" "Exactly. But it's not you." "Does he look in my stature?" "In fact, I'm looking at him perfectly like you, but it's not you." What was God doing? God was hiding Elisha right there. When God is ready to hide you, he doesn't have to place you under a bunker. You live on the surface. You go to Walmart, you come back home. You do your shopping, you live your life, you go to school, you go to work, and yet you are in the secret place. Where the nominal world knows nothing about. So Elijah was there enjoying his food, and they couldn't pick him. And yeah, they were looking for him everywhere, because he was in God's secret place. When you are in the God's secret place, you are isolated from the punishment of the unbeliever. That is what makes it God's own secret place. Now, with that, let's come to the Exodus. You remember, in the first Exodus, when God was ready to take his people out of Egypt, the land of Goshen, the town of Goshen, not the land of Goshen, because Goshen was in the land of Egypt. The town of Goshen was a town inside Egypt. Meaning that whatever affects Egypt must be affecting Goshen. And there was a time that there was no difference. You know why? They enjoyed the same blessings. You know why? Because they accepted the message of Joseph. So the blessings of Joseph was going around. But it came to a time that a Pharaoh, the Bible said, that knew not the blessings of Joseph was installed. And he started rejecting the message of Joseph. And to reject the message of Joseph is to reject God. And thereby the kindred of Joseph became isolated. And gradually, God and all its properties began to relocate from Egypt into Goshen. Read your Bible. It came to a point, amen, that as a result of rejection, God was sending plagues upon Egypt. Is that right? But the Bible said none of the plagues entered into Goshen. Now, that will sound to you like Goshen is another country. No, sir. It's a town. Tucson is a city inside Arizona. And all the problems confronting Arizona wasn't getting to Tucson. You know why? Because at that moment, Tucson becomes the secret place. God carved out a different economy. He made a bridge to isolate the unbelievers from the blessings of the believer. Then you will hear, there was darkness all over Egypt, but there was light in Goshen. Amen. You know why? Because God and all his properties located. He relocated into Goshen. So in Goshen, you will find a pillar of fire. In Goshen, you will find a prophet. In Goshen, you will find the word of God. In Goshen, you have the Passover atonement. Do you realize that after the night plague, Pharaoh told Moses, he said, "Don't see my face no more. The day you see my face, that day you die." And Moses said, "Amen." That was the night God completely relocated out of Egypt. Because as long as Moses was going to Pharaoh, the pillar of fire was going with him. But the moment Pharaoh said that, the pillar of fire cut off Egypt completely. And God told Moses, he said, there will be one more plague. Because God had told Pharaoh through Moses before, Israel is my firstborn, let them go. If you don't release them, I will kill your firstborn. Right. That was from day one. Before the plagues even started. He said, Israel is my firstborn, let them go. If you don't release them, I will kill your firstborn. And God saw to it. He said, there will be one more plague. And he told the Goshen people what to do, how to apply the token. Let me tell you, there's no other economy in these last days where the token can be applied outside of the Goshen of this hour. This is where I'm going to dock it shortly. Just follow me. Amen. We want to build our case from the scripture to here. Because Brother Bram and the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said everything God wanted to do, he has shown it through types and shadow throughout the entire length of the scripture. Let there be no offense. If you agree that God relocated all his properties into Goshen, I'm coming to something.
Amen.
Amen. Because if you want to know how this day is, watch out that day was. Brother Bram said the first day will vindicate the last day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did then is what he will do now. Hallelujah. He gave the message of the token. Not inside Egypt. He gave the message of the token right inside Goshen. It was only the Goshen people that understood how to apply. That is why it will be only the Goshen people in these last days that will escape the tribulation. Because they will not only have the blood, they will apply the blood.
Amen.
And by the blood cover of Jesus Christ, amen, atoning for them, they don't need tribulation to seal their testimony with their blood. No, sir. God gave them, he said, kill a lamb or a goat. Whether it's a goat or a lamb, is regarded as a lamb by God. Read Exodus chapter 12. He said, kill the lamb there and use the blood. Apply it upon the two doorposts and the lintel. Brother Bram said, God was giving them the sign of the cross.
Yes, sir.
A Calvary that they will live under till the full Calvary appears.
Yes.
You love him?
Yeah.
All right. Now, when they did that, he said, stay behind that token.
Amen.
They were not actually staying behind the blood, they were staying behind the application of the blood. Are you catching it? Because if they kill that lamb and leave the blood in the bucket, the death angel will come and still kill them. So you must not only accept the blood. That is why the prophet said, don't come this far and say, I believe the message. He said, you obey the message. You know why? Obeying the message is the application of the token. So don't kill the lamb and leave the blood in the bucket. Apply it. Put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. And be sure to stay behind your application. Amen. He said, as long as you are behind it, the death angel person will never touch you. Father firstborn, son firstborn, grandfather firstborn, all of you will make it. As long as you stay behind the application of the token. Are you with me, brethren? Alright. Why was that taking place? This revelation of the token and its application never existed in Egypt. So, Goshen became the secret place of the Most High at that time. If that is the way God works, let's move gradually to our day. You love him this morning. So I go back to the beginning again. God mounted When God sent his people out, he mounted cherubims to guard the path of the tree of life. We established that already. But this guiding was not meant to be permanent. It is until we have the perfect sacrifice that will create a way back to the tree of life. Because you and I must eat of the tree of life. Then one day Jesus came. Glory to God. And he went to the cross. And by the time his blood touched the ground, before he gave up the ghost, he declared it is finished. The payment penalty for sin has been what? Has been done. And three places receive the effect of it is finished. In three different realms. In heaven, on earth, and underneath. Are you with me, church? On earth, the veil of the temple rented into two. You remember the tabernacle we talked about? Amen. The veil separated the holiest of the holies from the rest of the court. Amen. And we told us that until a man enters into the holiest of the holies, his Christianity is not perfected. Amen. So God did what? God rented the veil by himself from top to bottom. Showing that, Brother Bram said, if it was rented from top to bottom, it was showing that God rented it himself. Amen. And when he rented it, it shows a way back into the holiest of the holies. The prophet said, I can see the angels, the cherubims that are mounting guard, declaring that, look, we are jobless. Because the man who put us here to be guarding it has opened it by himself. He said, I can hear God tell them, no, you are not jobless. I'm changing your job. Because there's no joblessness in my economy. Before now, I told you to use the sword to chase them out. But you go use the sword to chase them inside. In the message of influence, Brother Bram said, that is why the angels have to be in every service. He said, you may not see them physically, but you can feel their influence. Amen. Charging you to say amen. To rejoice in the spirit. To respond to the word. As a way to open up yourself for baptism upon baptism. Amen. Don't resist it. It is the charge of the cherubims. Down below, the body of the lamb was in the grave. His soul went down. To do what? To collect that key of death. Are you catching it? In order to unlock his own people who were in the prison house of death. Satan always have entitlement to death body because he is the author of death. So the saints from the days of Abraham and the rest of them who were locked in that prison house of death had to be unlocked because they died in the hope of the coming Christ. They died believing that the Lamb will come. And for their faith to be perfected, there must be an atonement. That atonement has been offered. Right now, they can go into the presence of God. And he collected the key. He gave a witness to the souls who are in prison now, those who never repented since the days of Lot, since the days of Noah, to show to them that Noah was right, you were wrong. Isaiah was right, you were wrong. Ezekiel was right, you were wrong. I was the one they spoke of. And I'm perfectly, and I'm right here now. No more salvation at that moment. The prophet said, one of these days is going to happen again. Our last aspect of ministry is to remain here preaching to the eternal lost. Are you with me? Our preaching will not offer salvation, but it will offer a witness against those who have rejected in the hour they could have received. Because one of these days the Spirit of the Lord is going to be withdrawn. He that is holy will be holy still. He that is filthy will be filthy still. And we are still here. No crisscrossing. No more salvation. The presence of the believer is to stand as a final witness that the rejection of the world sealed their doom. The silent ark of Noah was the final preaching to the souls that will be lost. It's all in the same pattern of the word. Hallelujah. So when he finished that, amen, he went to unlock his own. And the Bible said, on the third day, he resurrected with thousand times thousands of the saints. How many read that in the Bible? And they continued there for about 40 days. Amen. While Jesus was finishing his post-resurrection ministry to his disciples. Hallelujah. Now, that took place under and in the paradise. And we've seen what took place on the earth. Now, let's go to heaven and see what took place. In earth, hell, and heaven. In heaven, according to Revelation 5, the bleeding lamb stood before the throne. To do what? To claim the book. This is where you come in now. We're bringing it to you now. Which book? The book that we missed in the beginning. The book we forfeited, for which we were sent out of the garden. Because if we are to be restored to the garden, we must have the title of the garden. Tell the devil he's a squatter. He might be the god of this evil age. He might have created and hidden in this present world, but he's not the owner of this earth. Church, we own this earth. This is why our eternity is going to be spent here on earth. I hope you realize that. You just have 3.5 years up there. Even your millennium is going to be right on the earth. Your eternity is going to be right here in a renovated form. So the title must be brought back to you and I. Hallelujah. And this was what the lamb stood to collect. Because the man on the throne wasn't comfortable to hold the book. That was why for 2,000 years he was crying, "Who is worthy?" When there was nobody worthy, he himself made himself the worthy one. Amen. Hallelujah. He created a body for himself and he came in that body. Hallelujah. The body was Jesus. What lived in Jesus was Christ. And that Christ is that eternal spirit. El Elah Elohim. Hallelujah. God is the spirit and those who worship him must do what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. That is why in the message unveiling of God, the prophet said the entire God has to kenos. In other words, find himself contained in the body. That is why Jesus is the fullness of God and bodily. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten has declared in him. You will never be able to know God beyond his expression body called Jesus. Are you here? And he did that for a purpose. In order to get us an uncontaminated blood that is worthy of being shed and acceptable as the price of penalty for our sin. That was why, while John was sitting there crying when nobody was worthy, the elders rose up and said, "Weep not, John, for the Lamb hath prevailed." Hallelujah. Wait for it. To take the book and to lose the seals. He won't just take the book. He will lose the seals. The loosening of the seal will reveal the content of the book. Hallelujah. And the content of the book, when it's given forth, will call your name supernaturally. And you will come out again. The Son of Man is to be revealed in these last days, according to Luke 17:30. And let me tell you, every face of the Son of Man ministry will be expressed, will be manifested. Are you here? Because many a time when we talk about the revelation of Son of Man, we limited it only to the second pool, which is the messianic discernment. No, sir. All the faces of the ministry, are you with me? That the Jews and the Samaritans enjoyed from Christ, the Gentile will enjoy the same. The total content is the revelation of the Son of Man. Because when Christ was here in a body, he never went to the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, he told his disciples, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles." Because that was not the season for the Gentiles. But the Jews enjoyed healing. Is that right? They enjoyed messianic discernment. And they enjoyed the opening of the word. He revealed himself to them. The revelation of parables in the secret place of the Most High. Those are the contents of the Son of Man. Amen. And the Gentiles must have the entire content. Otherwise we are cheated. But thanks be to God. God who doesn't cheat. Amen. Fulfill this promise of Luke 17:30. In Luke 17:30, he has given us the impression, the thought that he will not be here by himself. He said, but the Son of Man will reveal the Son of Man. I'm glossing over that because I know Pastor must have taken us through that journey. A Son of Man will do what? Reveal the Son of Man. And for the revelation to be complete, he must bring the entire ministry of Christ. Listen to me, church. The reincarnated ministry of Christ, not the person of Christ. That is why Brother Bram is not the person of Jesus Christ. He wasn't exactly born as Christ was born. He was born like you and I were born. Alright? But the ministry he brought to you and I is the entire ministry of Christ in quality, in content, and in everything. You know why? The Gentiles will not receive any less from what others have enjoyed. So in the revelation of the Son of Man, we find healing. We find messianic discernment. And we find the revelation of the Word. But watch this. When the revelation began, this age opened up, Laodicean age. Amen? And it opened up as a Pentecostal age. That was why. And Brother Bram, as the messenger to Laodicean church, was a Pentecostal messenger, age messenger. That was why most of the things he did, the larger years of his ministry, were during the eras of Pentecostal great revival. Are you with me? 1946 to 1962. But the blessings that were coming then were the blessings of healing and messianic discernment with little droppings of the word that people can, you know, go along with and still get their blessings because the focus then was the signs and the wonders. But let me tell you, signs and wonders cannot make the bride. Are you with me? Signs and wonders will attract the bride as well as others. So the ministry of the first and the second pool, amen, of the prophet attracted all kind of congregations. The good, the bad, the tall, the short, the ugly, the beautiful, the fat, the thin, every category. Just as it was, time will fail me to show to you how it patterned perfectly with the ministry of Christ. The larger aspect of the ministry of Christ was to the world. And they enjoyed it so much until they contemplated making him king. 5,000 were not attracted because of the word. 4,000 were not attracted because of the word, but because of signs and wonders. That's what the Bible said. When they didn't find it, they missed him so much. They heard he's at the other side of the shore. They hired a boat or a ship to go and meet him there. And said, let's even settle this matter today. Let's make you the king. And the Bible said they were not getting excited because of the word. But because of the miracles of bread, signs, and wonders. But you see, we need those attractions in order to get the bride out of the mix. For the final aspect of the revelation of the Son of Man. Are you getting it? Which is the opening of the word? Which is the loosening of the seals? Because the Lamb prevailed to take the book. If he took the book and didn't lose it, no job done. Amen. We'll be going with a closed book like the church world is today. They carry big Bibles bigger than your own, but they had no idea. Oh, I'm not saying it for pride, brethren. Amen. We're appreciating what God has done for you and I. They had no idea of what is in the book. Amen. Because the content of the book can only be revealed in the secret place. Just as it was in the beginning, parable outside, content inside. Amen. You've got to be ready to follow the word to his own secret place if you want to enjoy the blessings. And Brother Abraham said, to enjoy its blessings, you've got no thought coming. You've got no idea. You must be ready to drop your opinions, your values, and your so-called beliefs. Some of you that are strongly opinionated, you cannot follow this message. Hey, you cannot. You will struggle with the message. You will hand it up like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in the wilderness. Because it's a change of thinking. Brother Abraham said, when the seals are opened, my Bible in my hand became what? A new book. A new book. He said it came tighter than my personal judgment, than my personal understanding. Brother Abraham had to drop his ideas and accept what the word say. That is why to the believer that will be restored back to Eden, there must be a total preeminence. The message of the hour is not an idea. Amen. And it's not advisory. It's our life. And tell you what, it is not everybody that can take it. That is why this aspect is only meant for those whom and for those who are designed for it. You see why it has to be secret again. You see? What took place in Revelation 5 and 6 when it was made manifest on the earth, right by the commission that came out from your own city. Aren't you blessed people? Tucson. Is it not Tucson where we are? Tucson, Arizona. That's God in Sabino Kayan. You remember what took place there? Maybe it's common to you people because you were here. But it's not common to us. There are memorials that will never die. No matter how much those things come under attack, it's our own value. Amen. God has got four cherubims that are close to the throne. Right? The ones with the face of a lion. The one with the face of an eagle. The one with the face of a man. And the one with the face of an ox. Their position in the throne shows how close they are to see everything going on. They've got eyes within and without. The prophet said, he speaks of their supernatural spiritual intelligence. Right about the hour when Revelation 5 and 6 was to take place on the earth. Amen. Right about the hour when the veil of the temple, supernaturally speaking, was to happen here, God knighted his cherubim with his sword. Oh my goodness. Thank you, sir. It took me there for the second time in 2023. Amen. God knighted his messenger with a sword. You think those things are for nothing? And the handle of the sword will fit his hand perfectly? Amen. Is it not showing the perfect authority to bring the opening of the word? And he used that sword to chase you inside. Because the hour, the veil of the secret place is about rented on the earth. And right on your sunset mountain, which I had the privilege to be some years ago, before it's locked now, the angels of the Lord came down. I don't care what they say about it. Right. Amen. Amen. Jesus has always not been able to do much in his own village because of stark unbelief. So don't tell me we are talking some people, we know what is on it. You don't know it. The word says it. I believe the word, not you. Except you also believe the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So whose account will I believe, by the way? Your account or his account? A backslider's account or a believer's account? Come on, church. And what if you find out in the word that the first public comment of the prophet was to say, I was not there. That was his first public comment. Three kinds of a believer. You think you had a joke on the prophet? God anticipated your challenge before it happened. Amen. He prepared well for it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. What you can deny is that the seven angels came down. Amen. Hallelujah. And they took the prophet in a temporary rapture of himself. The truth of God only known to them. And they brought him back with the commission, go back. This is west, the setting of the sun. Go back east. Hallelujah. to declare another day. It is the rising of the sun. Sun rises from the east. That is why the commission was given in the west. And the fulfilling of the commission took place in the east. We believe that. For 7 nights plus 2 days, he was busy. What took place in Revelation 6 was happening on the earth, right in your own land. But if you are not an elect man for it, let it happen right in your village. It is going to mean nothing to you. How many people in America, how many people in Tucson knew what you know today? And you are still doubting that you are in the secret place of the Most High. Come on, church, wake up. He was busy opening and loosening the thing. Hallelujah. Now, the open book became rejected. You hear that today? His ministry was good. His signs and wonders. Oh, outstanding. Nobody ever does what he did. But his teaching was wrong. How dare you call him a prophet and yet you will bring a wrong teaching? Are you not contradicting yourself? The word of the Lord comes to the prophet. He came to him. Amen? Amen? And they rejected the totality of the word. Laodicea rejected it.
That's right.
Just as Egypt rejected the message of Joseph.
Yeah.
This same Joseph that was a blessing to them, that made them an outstanding nation among all the nations of the earth, the succor for all nations, his blessing was rejected.
Yeah.
This same Jesus that they carried about, that they wanted to make king, when he began to sound his message, the purpose for which he came, except you eat my flesh, drink my blood, they rejected him. 5,000, 4,000, 9,000, and several other thousands, because they were counting only men beside women and children. So the numbers could have doubled or tripled, right? Women are always more attracted to spiritual things than men. So where you see two men, you will see five women. Amen. Not to talk of the children. Praise the Lord. So all those thousand things down and became 70. And from the 70, it turned to 12. And amongst the 12, one was the devil. Story short, on the day of Pentecost, only 120 trophies out of the ministry of Christ. Only 120 made it to the secret place among all the crowds. You remember thousands, hundreds of thousands that greeted the ministry of the prophet. It's God will follow the same pattern because he brought the same Christ. So what Christ experienced must be experienced in the last days. Same pattern. It wasn't your money that took the prophet around the world 7 times. You know that? Pentecostals, full gospel, assemblies of God, oneness, twoness, threeness, four square, and all kinds. Those were the people's monies that took him around the world. 7 times. Hallelujah. But this same man that they were hailing all over the world, his ministry began to suffer rejection. Until 10,000 letters a day, 1,000 or 10,000 a day reduced to 100. Amen. He had to preach present stage of my ministry to give comfort, not to everybody, but to the seed who are among, who are wondering what was going on. Then in 1963, when the full word of God was blown open, the people rejected it. Then there's a need for us to turn a bend again, secret place. There's a need for another economy to be carved out. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the whole Laodicea rejected. And this was what was fulfilled in Christ being found outside. Are you catching it? Do you realize Philadelphian age was the age of open door? How come the age that follows it became closed? And not only to anybody, but to Christ. That should be the central theme of revival. Amen. Christ was outside. And from his language outside, there was no suggestion that he was willing to come inside. Brother Bram spoke of the Chicago brethren, ministers. You remember?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He said, when they, oh my. How can we not say these things? You would know the story, so I won't go through the contents so much to save your time. But you know what? When they had an opportunity to hear the truth, the prophet said, all of them said, we didn't know that this was it. We are going to come and be rebaptized. We'll buy the tapes and send to all our parishes. We got to follow the truth. Amen. But 5 years later or so, the prophet said in a message indictment, we are still waiting for them. They have not come. He said, because the cost is too great. He said, but do you know what they have done? Church, do you want to know what they did? They committed unpardonable sin. It's in there. Go read it. The prophet brought the scripture of Hebrews chapter 6 and applied it to them. You know what is unpardonable sin? Hearing the truth, acknowledging it to be the truth, and refusing to walk in it. There is your unpardonable sin. The church world heard it, and from that moment, Brother Branham said, no denomination can ever change collectively. He said, from that moment, it becomes an individual salvation. All the seeds of God in those denominations will come out. That was why Christ stand outside the door of Laodicea. He is not willing to enter again. Amen. But he said, whosoever, it becomes a gospel for the individuals, not for the group. It's not even for family, as much as he had family in mind. Amen. But it became a gospel of whosoever. And that whosoever must be willing to do what? Come out. Laodicea became an anathema for God. And because Christ was outside, Laodicea lost every article to give you salvation. Are you listening to me? You can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can apply the token how there. I know the balance of the word. In the days before the seals were opened, the prophet would commend Dr. So-and-so of Methodist Church, a man filled with the Holy Ghost. I know he's there. But if you rightly divide the words, there's no confusion. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
but when the seals became open, what did the same prophet say? He said, if you are truly filled with the Holy Ghost, it will do what? It will lead you to the storehouse. Oh! It will lead you to the abundance of the truth. And that is in line with what happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh, church. The people who were baptized, the 3,000 people, were random people who never prepared for a revival service, who were just passing by. Read your Bible. And they saw some people who were acting irresponsible at 9 a.m. when people should be at work seeking better things for their life. They saw them drunk. That was what attracted them and said, hey, what's going on? What is our world becoming? We have never seen this before. How can responsible human beings, well-dressed, looking neat like this, be getting so drunk at this time of the day? Come on! Let's do something about it. That was what brought them there. They never prepared for what they were coming to meet. Are you following me? So you must read the scripture sometimes and loosen yourself to get the thought. But the moment the word was preached to them, it connected with the seed gem in the heart of 3,000 among the crowd. They said, wait a minute. I don't know how I'm feeling again. I just must surrender to this. Oh, the others will say, oh, you two want to join them? I said, no, it's just something connected.
Right.
And do you know what? 3,000 people in one sweep came to the Lord.
Amen.
Now, wait for it. When they were baptized and prayed for, the Bible said they received the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And the moment the Holy Ghost came, what did he do? He changed. The first thing was that he changed the appetite. The Bible said they continued steadfastly, meaning they never went back to their whole denominations. Even though the experience they had, they never prepared for it. But it changed them so much until their appetite couldn't stand what they've been feeding on before. What are you telling me? If you truly have the Holy Ghost and it does not lead you to the reviewer for your day, check your ghosts. You have a ghost, but it's not holy.
Amen.
So Brother Bram was right to commend people. And said, so they have a man filled with the Spirit of God. Who will prove it? When the word of God became open, And the man that has the Spirit of God couldn't follow the word to the hand. Hey, there is the question. He's anointed somewhere to preach fantastically, but it never happened in the soul. If it gets into the core, amen, that man will not be at peace until he embraced the light. Hallelujah. Because when the seals became opened, amen, the Lord turned a corner. And Jesus stood outside, calling for his own. Amen. He said, I counsel you. When you watch the totality of God's counsel, the content of his counsel is to give them cure from Laodicean condition. But you see, you cannot apply that cure in Laodicea. You've got to come out. When you come out, where you've been taken into, you are coming into the secret place where all things are possible. Shall I tell you what that secret place before I stop now? After about 2 years winding to the prophet living, he preached his final Easter message. And he called it is the rising of the sun. I might not remember the message. In this message, Brother Branham said, I want this Easter to mean more to you than any other Easter. Because most other Easters, we have been celebrating the resurrection of the bridegroom, Jesus. But do you know the last Easter message Brother Abraham preached wasn't to celebrate the resurrection of Christ? If you doubt me, go read it again. It's to celebrate your own resurrection. Because he kept saying in that message, he said, what it has done for him is what it has, what it did for him is what it has also done for you. Then the same scripture that applied to Christ, he said he also applied to you. He said, this Easter, I want it to mean more to you than any other Easter. Because this Easter is the resurrection of the bride of Jesus Christ out of dark, dead denominationalism into the glorious age of the bride. He said so. So if he said the bride has an age, he's pointing us to another blessing. That a new economy has also been carved out. The bride age is not going to be an eighth age. It's going to be an age within an age. Just as Goshen was within Egypt. Just as Brook Cherit was within Israel. Are you seeing the times lining up? So there's going to be an economy, amen, that is devoid, that is protected from all the effects of Laodicea. Amen. There'll be a people that will not be blind. Amen. Because they will take the totality of God's counsel. Amen. They will anoint their eyes with the high salve of the message of the hour. Amen. And they will see. They will not be naked because they will be clothed. Every condition of Laodicea will not have effect in them. Just as the condition of Egypt had no effect on the Goshen dwellers. We are back to our Goshen brethren. And let me tell you, this is why all the properties of salvation have also relocated. The pillar of fire. The messenger. The message of the messenger. And let me tell you, the application of the token. Do you know Brother Abraham said, the token message was the one necessary to come after the seals. Are you catching that? The seals took us out of the economy of Laodicea and brought us into God's secret place. Amen. Where we can apply the token and escape the power, the effect of the payless rider, death. Because death is striking. It's not that it will strike. Brother Abraham said the striking began already. Read your message. In 1963, the church was indicted. In 1964, recognizing your day and its message, the prophet pronounced them past redemption. In 1965, he said they are dead. Those were profound statements. They were not made casually. They are to show to you the program of God for this day. Because the pale horse rider rose in force. is going to climax one of these days into the beast system. Amen. Where Satan will be fully incarnated in a man who is presently the false prophet. Because now he walks by the spirit of the Antichrist. But when that hour comes, the fullness of the devil, just as the fullness of God cannot in the body Jesus, and it make him the fullness of God bodily, the fullness of the devil is going to kenos himself in the body of the false prophet, the office of the Pope. And he will become what? The beast. And he will unleash terror. Amen. Oh, my loving brother. Oh, my loving sister. The world will soon be on fire. Don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? The economy of the head will collapse. It's already collapsing. Brother Bram said, it's the divine hand of God guiding it to be so. And no amount of Harvard professors or Yale experts will save it. It's the finger of God to collapse the economy of your country. Amen. And by extension, the entire world, so that they could go to Rome for a bailout. And by their bringing Revelation 13. Amen. But we thank God, in that same Revelation 13, we have a promise. That those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life will never worship the image, not the beast. Because they've been brought into a different economy. So we're in the age of the bride, friends. Hallelujah. That is why the message spiritual food in due season. Brother Bram said, we have access to our healings, to our deliverance, to our blessings inside this spiritual food. Even when the doctors and the world economy has failed. He said, we are in an economy that the nominal world knows nothing about. So no matter the scarcity, no matter the pains, no matter the hardship, God's believing children will be taken care of. Spiritually, physically. Because if he can save your soul, he will heal your body. He will change your situation. This is the economy we find ourselves. The bride age economy. The secret place of the Most High. Where God is completely unveiling. Amen. You know, a groom does not unveil himself to the bride in a public place. I'm stepping up my language now. Right? And the bride has a right to that unveiling. You know why? Because there is marriage. My brother, my sister, as I stop, I want you to know, we are not going to heaven for marriage. We are going for marriage supper.
Amen.
So you ask me where the marriage is being done, right here? It's taking place, brother. Amen. The prophet couldn't have left if he didn't see the marriage done. Because the uniting of the head and body is the bride's marriage. And it comes by the revelation of the Son of Man in its totality, which is what you and I have enjoyed. We've not only enjoyed healing ministry, we've not only enjoyed messianic discernment, we are in the opening of the word, which the prophet in the message calls shout that gathers the bride into their own economy. And Brother Bram said, the total revelation unites the head with the body. When the prophet saw that taking place in advance, knowing that others will come and form and be part of that unity, he gave his thanksgiving message in the message Invisible Union. Because why? The purpose for which God brought him has been accomplished. And Brother Bram said, when my purpose is done, I don't want to stay any longer. In December, he gave it in November. In December, he left the scene, knowing that the bride has been thoroughly married to the bridegroom. Right now, what are we doing? We are back to the secret place with him. To do what? To consummate our marriage. To pack the seeds of our husband. To eat the book. Are you enjoying? Are you eating the book? You must eat the book. If you don't eat the book, you are sick, brother. You are sick, sister. The appetite of the Holy Spirit is to hunger for the revealed word, not just the closed book. Because in Revelation 10, the mighty angel stood with the open book. Is that right? It was open book that was delivered to John, a type of you. It was a revealed word that was given to you. And you under command to do what? To eat it. Amen. Fellowship with it. It will make you pack the seeds of your husband. That's the impregnation, brother. The prophet said the bride has got to be impregnated by the word. And when a woman becomes pregnant, you know, there are many changes. Her dress will change. So you won't tell the real believer to dress right. Amen. What she's, the life growing in her, we tell her the right kind of dress. Tell her the right kind of meals. The right kind of places to go. Because that experience brings a total change. Hallelujah. And why must she get pregnant? Because she's to replicate her husband. She's going to reproduce Christ again. The Bible said John must prophesy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When Christ can be reproduced again, what he did, we will do it. This is why God has brought us into his secret place. Elijah ate supernaturally, and we have been fed supernaturally. Eat, my brother, eat, my sister. You are going to need every bit of energy in the days that lay ahead. You've got to stay long in the presence of God so that when you come out like Elijah one day, you can say, by my word. Do you know there's a promise like that? Brother Abraham said, now we pray. He said, then we shall speak. And heaven will respond to our speeches. God bless you. Shalom. Amen.